So I had like a weird experience in Houston. Mm-hmm. I feel like weird, but just a moment that made me think. And it was like, I was standing outside smoking a cigarette with the door guy. And this girl that was in like the show that I had just done, like walks up and she was like, "Hey, like, you're really funny." I was like, "Oh, thanks." And she goes like, you know, like she was walking down the sidewalk, right? Like outside the club. Not really walks up. And then she goes, "Yeah, we had the same birthday, by the way." It's like, "Oh, really?" She's like, yeah, April 12th. Because I do a joke about my birthday being April 12th. Because it's the day the trans military ban was passed, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah, April 12th, 92. And I was like, "Oh, hell yeah. High five for April 12th, right?" And we like high five. I was like, "Well, it was so nice meeting you." She's like, "Yeah, nice meeting you." She, as she walks away, she just like looks at me. She's like, "By the way, really nice tits." And just like keeps walking, right? And I'm like, "But motherfucker, what? How are you gonna?" I was like so like taken aback and like kind of like pissed off about it. Cause that's like, I'm not that I'm opposed to you telling me I have nice tits, mm-hmm. but you gotta stick around for me to respond. Right? Like what a little bitch move to like compliment on the move, right? Like I'm glad that like women are at least taking the initiative to like outwardly compliment
some. That was probably big for her.
I know. And like
it's very hard for women to flirt with other women.
But that's the thing is like fuck, just stick around 2 seconds. So like what if I had a really great quip back? Like I could have come off as even sexier than you already think I am. Not that something needs to come up.
But that's even more vulnerable and scary for her because then she has to respond to that and then you've already said something more you know, witty or whatever, or sexy. And now she's like, what do I go from here? You know, that's scary.
Yeah, I know. Could have been like, "You should see my shirt off." Right? Cute.
Yeah, but now she has, now you've placed it into an overtly sexual.
It was already overtly sexual. Well, be like, no, hey, but, nice tits.
Yeah, that's pretty, it is. But still, like, now you've taken it into a, do you want to have sex? That's what it's over.
No,
like,
it's just more of like, you know, that kind of like outwardly, like, explicit flirting, right? Where it's like, I don't know, because in my head, it's like, I like flirting with people sometimes with, like, no intention of ever wanting to, like, fuck them, right? But, like, but the flirting, like, is, like, implies that, right? Like, that's kind of, like, the natural, that's kind of, like, the teleology of, like, the, of flirting, right? It's, like, it leads into fucking.
But there's this whole thing, I can't remember the terminology that these, like, linguists, psychologists, people talk about where like you're taking it from, well, I guess it's like implicit part of the conversation to explicit part of the conversation. So nice tits is like already, but see, it's because that's what women keep telling me, like, that they don't know how, ones who are new to any kind of queerness, they don't know how to flirt because it's like, are we being friends or are we attracted to each other? So nice tits is something that straight girls might say to each other.
I don't think so. I mean, I think like here's the thing is like, I've had my tits complimented before, right? This isn't the mm-hmm. first time. And you can tell the difference between like a friendly nice tits and like a sexual nice tits.
She was
tits.
Absolutely flirting and wanting to hit on you. What I'm saying is it's still in the realm of like plausible deniability. It's still in that realm of like, it's not that scary to say nice tits.
Yeah, I know.
Whereas if you had said to her, "You should see him with my shirt off," you're elevating the explicitness.
But that's my thing is like, I don't think I respect the game of like saying it and then walking away.
Oh,
right?
No, absolutely. She has
that
no
was
game.
Just my whole point where it's like, fucking come on. Like you can't, like you're just like going to make the first move in like a chess match and then like step away instantly. Like fuck that.
Yeah. Well, women are raised in this society to be cowards and.
I know, but it's like, she like took the first step into it. So, but and then bailed.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying like probably that was like when I get started back again and running and I do my mile and I'm like, okay, the next day, you know, I can do 1.1 miles. But I'm saying maybe that for her was big to even come up to you.
That was her just like putting shoes on and starting.
Her heart was pounding.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm going to go talk to this person who just fucking killed it in front of all these people.
Oh, no, I didn't kill it at all.
Oh, well, then her heart was pounding less.
This is not a killed it set.
Then her heart was pounding less. But still, you were on stage and she's like, I have this thing that I can say because our birthdays are the same. But like beyond, and I want to say, you know, but so maybe she's working on it. Maybe that for her was more than... And next time,
I'm just saying next time,
if that's you,
maybe don't lead with nice tits, but also stick around for 2 seconds after whatever you do lead with. Right.
Well, because if she'd stuck around longer, she would have gone somewhere besides nice tits. And then, you know, she didn't know where to go.
They did look great that night. I'm not going to lie. Like they're in like a hot white shirt and like, I love looking at my tits and getting turned on now. I'm just like, fuck yeah. This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old androgynous vagina person. And we're the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. If you want to get in contact with us or follow us, you can find us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Patreon under Gender Fluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all. It was also just an interesting thing because, like, you know, more often than not, that it's dudes that have, like, said that to me variation of that to me. Right. And so it's like not, it was kind of honestly nice. Like, in one part of me was like, we shouldn't objectify people. But the other part of me was like, fuck yeah, we should. Like, hell yeah. I love
it's
that.
Very affirming.
I'm glad that this just happened, like, from like a woman. Right. Or I don't know how this person identified, but they look
from this presumable. Woman.
Yeah.
Presumed woman.
Yeah. And so it was just like, it was kind of a fuck yeah moment. It's like, all right, women starting to make inappropriate comments too, and gaining some equal ground. Really
digging
it. Right,
because I think that, you know, with learning to hit on and go through the vulnerability of hitting on someone, it takes a lot of missteps along the way. And so, you know, you have to make mistakes and stuff. And so now women are going to be out there making mistakes.
Well, and here's the thing is, like, for me, as in most things, I'm pretty bottomy in like in like those situations. And so it's like, I'm and kind of, you know, masochistic-y also, right? So it's like, I'm fine with, like, if I'm into somebody, I probably won't make the first flirt, but like as soon as they like make like a flirt, it like it'll be a little inappropriate probably, right? Like if it's just like a dude after a show, I'm like, no, this dude's kind of hot, like I'll just wait, and eventually he's gonna say something, right? And it's gonna be awkward, but I love that, and I love that kind of like,
yeah, I love it feeling. When someone just tells you that they're very attracted to you
yeah,
and you're just like, cool. Especially when you're not that attracted, you know, as attracted
but
to
then
them.
But then I like the so second powerful. Move flirt, right? I don't ever like being, I mean, I understand like the hardness of like doing the first flirt, right? But like, I like being the like response back more, right? At least at first. And then like, because then it's fun to see like where it goes. But like, yeah, glad to see some objectifying compliments, tops or whatever.
Well, we are... like subjects, but we are also objects, you know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've
it's
thought about that before where it's like,
as long as you also subjectify, like, right? I mean,
yeah,
isn't that part of the whole sex game?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, I always get cunty about it at times where I'm like, guys, like, people are into objectification, but like, we are literally all objects within somebody else's.
Maybe
like,
that's just like a universal kink is being objectified. I mean, that seems pretty. Like,
yeah, I mean, we definitely fetishize
our,
like
yeah.
the objects that we
or
see ourselves
our
as, right? Like, we put a lot of time and energy into like the object that we project, right?
Yeah,
to others, you know.
Yeah, we're all kinky for ourselves. We all fetishize ourselves. I think that's probably true. So in that sense, it's like, yeah. Well, and it's kind of like how there's all this like rape fantasy stuff going on, and you know these kind of things where we're like, that's uncomfortable, but like, I don't know. We're all kind of kinky, and I don't know. I can't remember what I was originally
saying. Yeah, it's like, I don't know where that's going.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. I forgot what I was talking about. It's okay. We can move on.
No.
No, I mean, I really don't. I don't think I had anything else beyond that. Like, it was just, it struck me that it was like, cause she was not like, she definitely read as queer, but didn't read as like, dominant or like aggressive or toppy. She was like cute pixie cut,
right.
Like smaller framed and like built like,
well, but that's what
person.
I mean, like I guess when I say the rape fantasies, like the objectification what? is
I,
on that
I
spectrum don't... hold on, it's on that spectrum, like objectifying someone. That's why my point is, like, it's the only reason I'm getting self-conscious is because both of those women keep turning their heads every time I say something.
Well, stop looking at them. I didn't even pay attention to them the whole time.
Well, that's because you are at an angle where you don't have to see them. They are like in my vision, which maybe Asperger's you has done for yourself very, you know, smartly, whatever.
Well, we usually don't have an audience.
I know, but but anyway, yeah, it's on that spectrum of like that you know what I mean? Like being objectified is like sort of like a violation in a way, if you know, if we're thinking of it that way. And so and women, you know, it's like we like to be attracted to, we want someone to be attracted to us. That's just like a very, and so like being objectified is part of that. Some, you know, like at least the way our culture has like given that to us. I mean, maybe there's a different way, but in our culture, like that's just part of like our, you know, the way that we think.
I think I kind of follow, but I don't really think I do. I mean, I get it that yes, like everybody kind of wants to be quote objectified in some sort of way. Right. But like what I think that actually means is like, you know, in our quest to find like the one or the person that you're supposed to be with, you're looking for somebody who sees you the way you want to be seen as an object. Right. Or what you, an object or like as an identity, as a character, like when you think of Ariel and your Arielness, you want to find somebody to like love and to be with that sees that as closely to how you see it and have constructed
well, but
it yourself,
also
right?
Just sees
but I think that's
you.
That. I think that's I know, but that's right. what I mean. But that's so the that's kind of the objectification that we're desiring, right?
Yeah, your projected
is
image of yourself. Your projected image of yourself versus like. The kind of
but I
real
think,
you.
But I think that then also, like everything, that like desire for objectification is on a fucking giant ass spectrum. So like it can go to like darker places or like different places and like manifest itself
not just
in
like one
ways.
Like line of spectrum, but like all these different possibilities.
Yeah, it's not like a monolithic form of objectification, right? Like we like use that and like push that into our lives in so many different ways, right?
Right. Yeah. Fine. So everyone kind of has their own like different direction that they might take where we go with that objectification. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, how often would you say women like are successfully hitting on you? Cause like, I feel the same way, right? Kind of just a bottom. Like I love doing comedy. You get off the stage and sometimes people hit on you and that's great. Cause you've already done all this work.
I mean,
and
it,
now
it is the thing that like, you're right. Like it comes down to like socialization. Right. And so like a lot of women, I guess you say aren't quote successfully hitting on me because like, I really am not going to like try and make like the move to like take us into the next direction. Right. Of like exchanging numbers or like asking somebody to hang out. I'm rarely going to do that.
For me, they have to be pretty hot to me.
But like, even then, I don't really do that.
Right. Like, I'm still going to hope they're doing it.
And like, and so like, you know, and I think it is like most women have like been socialized not to just like take that like leap and take that step and just like make the move and like.
But yeah, we all watch Shane on the L Word and we're like, that is so hot. Isn't that the best? We all want that. But then the only people who are doing it are like a little extra butch and look funny or like take it to a weird play, a dorky place or something. I don't know. Like I just am not getting a lot of like, I just don't think that there are that many Shanes.
No, of course not.
At all. But like, at least not in this town. Ugh. That's why I moved to Boston, actually, because I was like, because I'd been in New York and then I looked around at the Boston lesbian scene for a second. And I was like, well, because they were also sportier and just more down to earth. But I was but there was like the sportier ones. A lot of them are
a little more
Shane-like. Hmm. Yeah. But here they're all just shy queers.
They have really, though.
So it's like, yeah, it was like I was just thinking, like, when was the last time a woman like smoothly hit on me, confidently hit on me, like on the road?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Not in Austin.
No.
A trans boy.
That's the thing is like, I flirt with girls a lot, right? But it never leads anywhere. But it's because like, I'm not going to make the move. It's just not my thing, right? Like, I don't have any desire to like be that like person to like go in and like, oh yeah, like, I like get to know you and talk you up and then like, hey, let me grab your number, right?
Like, is it also just because you really gotta want it? Like, it's like to be the top person, you really have to like,
I mean, really my thing also is like, whenever I meet somebody in person that I end up like having a thing with, it's rarely this is the first time like we've like met type thing and we're just like meeting at a bar or something. It's always at some sort of like social engagement or like gathering, like a house party or like, you know, like a board game night, just things like that.
Someone who's kind of in your life in a way.
Well, it's like I would have to go, I wouldn't just meet somebody out at a bar and then ask them like for their number. Right. But if I went to a board game night and like,
you would never ask for someone's number at a bar.
I don't think I've ever actually asked for somebody's number at a bar. I think people have asked for my number at a bar.
Sure, but you never. Like,
I don't think so.
Is it like, and like, raise better? Or
no, but I mean, also, it's like what usually happens is like, you know, I'll meet somebody at a bar, and then like they'll like friend me on Facebook or Instagram,
yeah,
and we chat there, and then I'll like send them my fucking number.
Well,
later.
That's true. That's the thing. It's our culture, but and they're neutering our ability to hit on each other with little things like that because it enables us to not have to really ask.
I will say, actually, I've left my number for people. Like I like
bottomy ass shit.
I like say bye, and I'll have written my number down. Be like, here's my number if you want it. I'd like doing that. I don't like the take your phone out and exchange it things. Like, take my number, and if you want to text me, text me.
I think it's
not
smoother, and it works pretty well anyway. Because people, if they're interested enough, then they'll text you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get their name if you're interested.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I really rarely do that at bars, but I like do that. Like, if I go and spend like some like hours, like a quality time with a person in like a social environment, that's when I'm like more likely to at the like end of the night be like, hey, like that was a lot of fun tonight. Could
that's
I like
your number? Yeah, that's true.
Can I give you my number? Right.
Because then it's like we're in this social network anyway. We just obviously should have each other's numbers to.
Yeah. Here, tilt yours down just a little bit. Yeah, there you go. Because, like, I've met, like, and, like, that's the other thing is, like, I'm more likely to do that if there's, like, the possibility of, like, me, like, making friends with this person, right? Uh-huh. So, like, even if it's like we're either gonna like maybe hit this off, but you also seem like somebody who's like, I'm gonna be a good friend with, like, regardless, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, I kind of look for that vibe.
Well, exactly. So once it's clear between, you know, two people that that's what's going on, then it's, you know, pretty natural to just get each other's numbers. Yes.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck am I.
Yeah, me too. I did do a tiny bit of shrooms an hour or so. Just because it's like, you know, I'm trying not to drink.
So let's just supplement that with some mushrooms.
It's like supposed to be like semi a micro dose, but also like a
dose.
It's like a less
it's
than
like a micro dose, but like actually,
you know,
a
when
dose.
You convince yourself, just less than a gram, and then you're still doing anyway. But then I ate this ridiculous concoction that I made in the crock pot because I'm trying to use up our condiments, you know. Anyway. I was also just reading about, I think we've talked about drag queen library read-alongs. What are we calling this?
Like being read?
Yeah, there's like a thing in the news, in queer news. I heard somebody talking on some podcast about how there were drag queens across the country reading to children. At libraries.
Different reading thing. Let's actually, Miss Kitty Litter, who's a drag queen that got into some shit around here about that.
Oh, did she?
Wants to be on the podcast, but I just forgot to
respond.
Oh, well,
let's do a little.
But she's like involved in that. So like we could like.
Let's ask her about it, but let's do a little. Yeah. So what do you know anything about this?
I mean, essentially, like it was like more or less exactly what it sounds like. Drag queens were like going and like doing story time, right? Yeah. Like and reading to kids, right? And they read cute stories and like maybe like sing a cute little song.
Yeah.
And that was it. And so, but then conservative people protested it because it was being done like in public libraries.
Right.
And they were saying like you couldn't like force like that type of belief in like a
the belief that it's okay for a man to put on a wig and a bunch of makeup and
be around children
yeah. Right.
And so that's like and it went some nasty places, right?
Yeah,
like
because someone
wherever your head thinks this goes, it goes. And just like Google it.
I read
do some reading, but
three
like
three articles, one from each side, if you will. or at least I scam them. Okay, so yes, yeah, someone in an article in the red area was saying that this was like, yeah, programming our children to be okay with queer lifestyles and everything, which sure, you know, but at one point he opens it by comparing when Dukakis was asked in a presidential debate whether if his wife had been raped and murdered, if he would want the death penalty, which, like, what the fuck is wrong with America? And apparently he's still like equivocated about it. And so America was like, this ballless man cannot. And they go through this in the article, reminding us of this history lesson. And they were, and then he was like, that's basically what we're all doing, letting these drag queens read to our children. I was okay. And so, but I read this article, I'm realizing it's clearly written by a troll. I mean, it's put in the Washington Post, supposedly, but clearly written by a troll. It's one of Google's top results. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then the liberal thing, on the other hand, I mean, everyone knows what the liberals are saying. It's positive and who cares? And but the reasonable person... was just like, I went to one of these things, y'all. And, you know, the kids didn't seem that interested, honestly. They kind of squirmed a little bit. Like, you know, the drag queen guy would try to, would be like, here, do you want this thing? And the kid would be like, not take it. And, go, and then the mother would delightedly take the little bracelet or whatever. And she was like, the parents were all like mouthing along to the sing-along songs and like getting really involved. And she was like, honestly, I just think that this event is one of those, you know, you guys are like super into coloring books and stuff like that now. How about add this? This is an adult activity that you guys can do. You guys just want a drag queen night. Like, the kids are not interested. They're reading these books that are like just generally about like individuality, you know, those kind of children's books celebrating that kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of, it just felt, it did feel ickily, like kind of liberal stuff to this, you know, just kind of like, I mean, sure. But she was like, you know, in the nighttime, the drag queens look amazing. In the daytime, when you're up close and the kids are up, you can see all the makeup, you know, everything. She's like, they just look. Like, so I mean, think kids just kind of turning away from that. I don't know, dude.
There's
just a little opinion piece from her, but.
That seems like a fucking weak ass like argument.
Well, no, but I love the idea that this is an event for adults. This is, the adults were the ones who were loving this, and the kids were like, I guess.
I don't know, because I think, okay, so they went to what, fucking one?
Well, sure.
Okay, right. I'm just telling you, I, from what I've seen and like heard and like the videos I've seen of them, they look fucking like cute as hell. And mm-hmm. like their kids clearly having a good time, right?
Okay.
So it's like, yeah, okay. Also, it's like, yeah, of course some story times are going to fucking suck, right? Like if this was like a new open mic trend and they like were like, we went to one open mic and it wasn't pretty that great. Right. People weren't interested. I don't think we should do it anymore. They're just looking for it's like you went to one thing and like based your entire opinion off that. It's fucking stupid. Because here's what, at the end of the day, it's like, dude, fuck yes, we should have drag queens reading kids' stories. That's tight. Good. Let them start judging art early.
Yeah,
if they,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, if the drag queen's great and they do a good job, the kids love it. And if they're bad, kids start to go like, oh,
I mean, it's
unfortunate.
Like, because the article, you know, from the conservative side is like saying that, yeah, our kids are gonna learn that homosexuality is fine, essentially. And
yeah.
that, and then he's like, there was said that one drag queen like had a hard on or something when the child was sitting in their lap and they doing some Santa thing. The lady in the middle ground article was like, my drag queen didn't touch any of the children, you know, but it is like, yeah. We're arguing from the extreme position over here, which is like some of these men are going to have these kids on their lap and they're going to have hard-ons. And I mean, will that happen at some point if that ever... Okay, we have a rule.
Here's
no
the thing.
Santa's lapping at the drag queen.
You're just drawing like... It's just like classic... this is seriously just like a classic transphobic kind of thing.
It's Santa rules, everybody. It's the same fucking thing.
I know,
you've been
but
letting
it's just
your
like,
kids you, sit on a penis person with testosterone.
People let people touch their kids all the fucking time, right? Like kids are like handled and like you're just like trusting of them until it's like a dude wearing women's clothing. And then it's fucking, oh no, we need to watch out.
But they use pedophilia kind of stuff against us in these. And like they've really been like upping the pedophilia scare stuff forever, especially with the gay rights movement. Like everyone started talking about pedophilia even more. It was like, whoa, what about the gay men doing it or whatever? And so now like it's just part of the like talking points of people, you know.
Y'all,
what about those penises?
We're not saying we don't want to imagine we're 12 years old.
That is our business.
But we're saying that we don't want to fuck actual 12-year-olds.
No, but...
I'm a great method actor.
And it's one of those things where, yeah, you never know if a... Maybe a drag queen will be a pervert, which sometimes drag queens are cishet men in their regular lives, by the way. But like sometimes... But sometimes a Santa is going to be a fucking pervert. How many Santa... Are we just letting those men... I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of them, but obviously every now and then one of them, but in it's across the Santa drag queen.
We need to make a Christmas movie that's like about a like Santa pedophile ring. This is like a really dark like story about like corruption.
I'm surprised it hasn't come up in any of the documentaries yet. That Mormon guy didn't think of that. Like, come on. He was into, I don't know.
Santa.
You just can't. That's too obvious a move. If you're a pedophile, I think it's too on the nose. You're like, I can't. They're never going to.
They're never going to go.
We're not
for
all
it.
Michael Jackson.
They'll take two looks at me and be like, no. I can see it in your eyes.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, one day when we're making movies.
What did we start talking about? Oh yeah, the fucking queer news of the
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get Miss Kitty.
I mean, it's
litter.
Like obviously I'm fine with it. I'm trying to why would someone care? Yeah, if you didn't want your kids to be gay. Yeah, it's definitely going to
fucking
more,
take them.
More
yeah,
kids are going to be gay if
the
they
kids
see that
are
shit.
Getting
that's
taken
true.
To drag queen story time are already going to be fucking like exposed to something. Their parents
these
are taking
are the
them
liberal
to fucking
parents.
Drag queen story
yeah.
time.
It's just
it's
one
not
of the things the community offers.
That you
exactly.
Take your fucking kids
this
there.
Isn't your the public schools. Like this is the public library. Public libraries have been doing some gay shit since forever.
Forever.
If you guys didn't know it, oh, I'm sorry. You might not ever visit your libraries, but they're doing gay shit constantly and stuff. If you need career help,
yeah. Wonderful
it's
resources.
Stuff that the community might want. Well, and that's probably happening in like, well, liberal areas. Is what I was gonna say, but maybe.
I mean, what's happening here, and it's a big fucking deal, and it's like it receives like an immense amount of backlash. That's shit. I think we should get into like with her,
yeah.
or just another time.
Public
it's like
funds.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis.
Yeah, I don't have agenda. Strong opinions about that, but I do have questions. Hey, y'all. If you are enjoying this podcast and you want to help support us and get fun shit for doing it, you should head to our Patreon page. It's just patreon.com/genderfluids. We have a lot of cool shit over there. We recently just restructured it, and we think you'll really like the stuff we have for you. If you want to give us $5 a month, you get access to all sorts of bonus content, not just bonus episodes, but clips and things that we've cut out because we're pretty sure our careers will end over what we say in them. And then if you want to give us $10 a month, you can actually record your own little personal faggoty identity statement, and like we do at the beginning when I say I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom leaning switch, you would say that and then like follow it with and I'm listening to Gender Fluids or I love Gender Fluids or something faggoty like that. Mm-hmm. And we'll stick that in between our little episodes or our little segments. It'll be fun, so yeah, head to our Patreon and give us money, please. Dude, I thought of one that. Oh, I had the, hadn't done this one yet. Well, uh-huh. Okay, you can pick from two that we haven't done.
Okay,
we haven't talked about a baptism fetish, and we haven't talked about voyeurism, like spy cams and shit like that, like hidden camera stuff and like spying on people.
Let's do baptism this time.
Okay.
Let's say voyeurism.
Yeah, I was like, how? So
I forgot. Yeah. How did that come up for you? Because you texted me one day being like, we haven't talked about baptisms yet. I'm like, that's a great point.
I mean, yeah, I have no idea how it came up. Hold on, just a smidge. Yeah, I don't know. I was like walking out of work and like, it just kind of, I kind of always think about fetishes, and it just hit me that we had never talked about people being baptized. Oh no, I saw a picture of article. I didn't like read the whole article, but apparently like from what I gleaned, this like pastor performed a virtual baptism where he like baptized like an augmented reality like anime girl.
Oh, like, and they, like, did a little light projection thing?
No, he, like, he had, like, the goggles on, oh, and, like, you know,
ooh,
like
a baptism,
like, 3D. Like a, like, fucking augmented reality, like, yeah, baptism of this anime girl. But I was like, holy shit, like, you know for sure this pastor, like, when he's, quote, practicing, like, was seeing how, if he could touch the titties of the anime girl and trying to fuck the anime. Right. There's no way he didn't try that out. But then it just got me thinking about baptism as a fetish in general.
Yeah. Yeah, it is such an interesting thing.
It's an especially if it's like
immersion.
If it's like the priest dipping
which
you back,
is
it's
the
an
Mormon way.
It's an intimate
do
thing,
it,
right?
Not only the once, but also a bunch of the times. A bunch of times since we're like 12. I can't never remember if it's 12 or 14.
How many
years
times
old.
Do you think you've been baptized?
Oh, a few hundred.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Joseph Smith clearly fetishized baptism. I mean, because...
Wait, so y'all just do it like all the
really
time?
It really is a fetish. Well, yeah, for dead people.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
That's what all... Because we're trying to baptize by proxy everyone who's ever lived.
Damn.
So there's a lot to be done. You know, yeah, you know that guy was fucking, he was a baptism top for sure.
100%.
Just loved, like, having that moment with, like, a 12-year-old girl, an 8-year-old girl.
Dunk him in the
eight.
Water.
He made the year 8 for a reason, I bet. Oh, my God. You wait until the age of accountability. Yes, that's obviously what happened. You wait till the age of accountability to get baptized when you're a Mormon. And it's a great trick because...
The age of accountability?
Yeah, like it's when, ooh, you supposedly have free will and agency or whatever, I guess.
Is eight.
And so, but it gets you because as a kid...
That's a fancy way to say,
you know,
like, age of consent.
Age of consent, yeah, for baptism. Yeah, baptism consent. And so, yeah, that's this whole kind of psychological trick where the kid then, of course, looks forward to that day and, like, but it feels like a real decision, but you're a child and it, whatever. But yeah, and so then this, but usually it is your father who is baptizing you, unless it's, you're an orphan or something. But,
sorry, I just can't, I'm just smiling so hard right now.
Yeah, so everyone can enjoy the excess, but originally, you know, anyway, but so yeah, maybe that's part of why though. Maybe it's not so much, well, then again, he did have girlfriends that were, or wives that were 13.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, well, maybe that's a thing. So the 8 years old gets you into the church and probably psychologically attached. And
I mean, that whole thing's just so hot to me, especially if I work into an erotic context, yeah, where, like, I'm being brainwashed into this church through baptism, and, like, mm-hmm, I'm supposed to look forward to the baptism time. But in, like, you know, my fantasy, I also, like, he also, part of baptism, so far as I know, you know, he's kind of keeping information sequestered, uh-huh, is, like, that he fucks, like, you during, like, baptism, right? Uh-huh. And, like... Using that. Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so then when you're 14 or 12 or 14 is when you would start getting baptized for other people. So now you often would, it's not your father anymore most of the time. He might be one of the men, but it's so fun. Like a bunch of men, a bunch of grown men are dunking the daughters of the, it's 12, they're, or 14, maybe 14, which is an interesting choice that they're like, that's when you're, but...
God,
yeah,
damn it.
He's 14-year-old. You got to just trust them that they're not reading, you know, with boners to your kid. But you talk about, you know, who you're trusting. Oof. It's a community building sport the Mormons have got going on.
For sure.
You're going to trust your daughters to be for dead people by your friend. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's ripe for, because it was like a moment, especially you would hope to get the hot guy. You know, everyone hopes to get the hot dad. Or that single guy in the ward, whatever. But
I kind of want to like have like some sort of like sex, like retreat, like ritual thing, like where you go out in like the woods, right, and have like a bit giant like yurt set up, and like you just, it's like you and an intimate group of friends are just going to be out there and like have like an orgy for like a few days, right? Uh-huh. But like the whole thing starts off with like a communal like nude baptism in like a river. Right beforehand to like,
yeah,
that would be,
yeah,
fucking
that's
tight.
It's just a great ritual, dude.
Yeah,
baptism's
like, because it
really
is, it's like
one.
Intimate and like you're like having to like lean back into their arms,
yeah,
and like you're like, it's a,
it
like
is,
a
it's
little
a classic,
trust,
yeah,
like exercise
in those corporate things that they lose trust falls and stuff.
Yeah,
it is, it's like the same thing, it's great psychological tricks, and then you add the water to it, now you're wet together, yeah. Well, my first girlfriend and I definitely talked about whether we should go make out or have sex in the baptismal font, the Mormon church, because the temples all have them, but there's also just like a regular baptismal font for like regular ass baptisms in each Mormon church. So we definitely thought about like
sneaking we were like, in we and can't. Fucking.
We can't. Yeah. Or even making, we couldn't even kiss.
Have y'all, like oh, really? You've never kissed in a church?
No, in the church, yes. I mean, we still felt very like, but we was like, should we do it in the baptismal font? We were both like, I don't know. We might be Mormons again later. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Dude.
If I really don't think God's going to strike me down yet.
I see. It's like, I haven't ever done it, but I definitely want to fuck in a church.
I mean, I think it would be healthy for me now. I don't think I could have handled that.
I think it's going to be really intense.
Yeah. I think, it's very, but I'm like, feeling pretty intense right now. But I'm also on a little bit of shrooms. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, like thinking about like having sex, like being in a Mormon church again, like it holds power over you in that way, you know?
Yeah.
Psychologically. Like, whew, I would like thinking about going into a temple and like just desecrating a Mormon temple. They're so.
I wonder if anybody has like a baptism fetish, but like for the non-dunking baptisms, like, cause like, you know, I'm Methodist, so like we baptize babies,
just
right?
A sprinkle, yeah.
You just know you do the cross on your little forehead. It's a little sprinkle.
I don't have time to get wet.
Yeah. But it's kind of like cummy, like the priest, like the pastor's just like tossing his jizz on you a little bit. Love of Christ rubs it into your face just to show you who's boss, sends you on your way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cute, but not nearly as good as baptism.
But I mean, what if somebody has that as like a fetish? Like they just like jerking off to that. They're like, oh yeah, touch the baby. Splash water on that baby's forehead.
And I'm sure someone does.
Hand the baby to the priest. Yeah, let the priest hold the baby.
Well, I wonder if you're like a, you know, it's very rare to be a baby pedophile. Like, I think that's very rare for someone to actively, we should look that up. How do we even know, right? I guess that's the thing is we no one's reporting.
Yeah.
No one's self-reporting.
Like if they're over a year and a half old, I'm not interested.
But if that exists, it would probably be vicariously thrilling just anytime there's a baby around and it's being passed around or something between, you know, it's kind of a.
No. That's the thing. It's like definitely. That like 0.1% of pedophiles that are baby pedophiles aren't talking about it. So you never know whoever you hand your kid to. It
but
could
if
be
there's
them.
A way to set up an anonymous interview with us.
Please. If you're a baby pedophile, desperately
I do
want to talk
to
you.
Even if it's not on the podcast, I will talk to you, please.
I mean, being a priest would be a good way to like get your baby pedophile fix, you know, because of baptisms, right? And like, if you were a baby circumcision fetishist, you just started to perform a lot of
how many of those
brists?
Men have been pedophiles? Baby pedophiles? None. One ever, maybe. I think baby pedophiles are pretty rare.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be like almost
like, have some taste. You couldn't even put your dick inside it. without splitting it open.
And turkey. Anyway.
Like, or leaving like a lot of evidence.
People don't know.
There's no way to hide that.
I'm just digging my nails into my arms so that I don't feel anything you just said.
If your 10-month-old asshole is ripped open, there's
digging
no real
harder.
Way to hide it.
Keeping it all from actually hitting me and good. I hope anyone listening at this point is capable of doing the same.
Oh, baby pedophiles.
Yeah.
That'd be a great rapper name.
but with a Z.
Baby P for short. In all his videos, he just drinks baby piss, but it's actually a pedophile joke from his baby piss farm. He just has babies in cages sucking all of their piss out for him to drink. And then he fucks them later.
Okay.
There might be a breeding thing thrown in there.
Pedophile's the rapper, everyone. Coming to a
baby pee.
YouTube near you.
So baptisms.
Well, how would this go in the hot fantasy, like in the porn that I would write? You know, here we've got.
I mean, honestly,
your
like,
father
yeah.
couldn't make your father couldn't be here to baptize you. He just died in the war. Or he just broke his leg.
I don't mean, or like now, you know, somebody's last rites. Like you have, you know, like tomorrow you're gonna go. You have to go duel for your lover's like honor, right? But like beforehand, you want to make sure you're baptized and cleansed and have a moment with the priest, and the priest happens to be hot. And like, you know, you go and like have this moment as, and this is in old timey times, right? Okay, well. And then you're like being dipped down into like the river to be like baptized, and you like have this intimate moment, and like you're passionate, like last night alive, possibly y'all like fuck in the river.
Your way sounds fine. I mean, I was getting to be 8 in mine, but
I don't jump to make myself an 8-year-old.
Well, when you say baptism, I wouldn't be thinking of, you know, or being 14 or whatever, and
yeah, I mean, make yourself whatever age.
I'm gonna use the Mormon.
If this is the 1800s, you could get in a duel at 14, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have done it, but you got to steal your dad's like, you know, bad like rusty mm-hmm. like pistol, and you hope it works well. And
I feel like I don't, I can't even tell like the age. I don't think I have an age usually when I'm really like going to fantasize about something like fucked up. I don't really ever want the children stuff, but it's just that those are the ages for the
baptism.
For the baptism in my mind. But yeah, you're right. We could just change it.
I mean,
it
kind of running with what,
where they were 18 or 24 or whatever when you,
I mean, with what I know you've like gotten off to in the past, like the whole like, you know, like village like gangbang at 25 scenario,
yeah.
Right? Like what if you were, you know, part of like this like religion that like, or this weird sect of Mormonism, like if you want to go with that, where like it, you did, you know, very public like baptisms, but it was, yeah, just part of it that you had to get fucked in front of the whole church,
right,
or the whole
exactly.
church
that's
got to take turns fucking you,
just,
right?
You just, yeah, throw the baptism up there into the mix. Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. But I was just thinking like, how do you, is it like, yeah, so now the guy who is baptizing you is like the first one who gets to fuck you.
So, yeah, he gets first rights.
Yeah, he's
or maybe so you give the father first rights and then like the priest gets second.
Well, either way, like I think that's the fun of it.
Mom
because,
third.
Because if someone...
What order would it go in? How would you prioritize who gets to fuck you in what order? You know, close family, friends, do you think you get a say? Or is it just kind of a free for all?
Yeah, they draw straws before the whole town, number 1 to 2,000. And you just, you know, your mom is
wait in line.
Is it your mom? Is that what you're saying? Is that your parents are gonna fuck you too?
Yeah, well, if your parents
you're
are
always
in the
adding
church.
The incest. No, what you don't have. I think it's like an opt-in thing. You know what I mean? Like any member of the community.
Oh,
wants
I thought it was like an
her,
obligatory. Like we all
well,
have to at least
give
one trust.
Well, if you need
her
to be incest, that's the thing.
No.
I always have these perfectly delightful fantasies
about being
someone
8
always
years
puts
old and getting
urine,
fucked
no,
by a priest.
Again, I joke about that, but I don't really think of myself as a child in any of my fantasies. I'm just mm-hmm. thinking about that. I'm like, I like to talk about. I mean, I used to as
joking.
A kid, but I'm like, I don't really anymore. I just could if I wanted to. I have no problem fantasizing about it. And I sometimes, you know what I mean? I don't know. I toy with things, but what? Anyway, baptisms.
Baptisms. I'm about it. Not going to like jerk off to it now, yeah. But it's okay.
But I like the idea of like, yeah, whoever drew number one is the person who it's going to baptize you. And so let me take the sex element out of it, actually. That's a thrilling, we should be baptizing each other more. I don't know. There should be a healthy way for, I just miss community.
Yeah. Intimate ritual is nice.
Yeah.
Platonic intimate ritual,
honestly, it's
or
not
like
usually a sex thing. It's just
yeah.
Nice.
All right, I guess we'll
hug more.
Hug more,
fucking liberals.
Yeah.
Hug more.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao. This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.